The grace of the Lord be with you. Welcome to worship today. We're glad to see every one of you. If you'll sign the friendship register, the book you'll find the inside aisle of the pew, if you'll pass that down. If you're visiting with us, we're especially glad that you're here. Invite you to give us your name and address. And we are very thankful to have a very special group of young people with us this morning, the Graham High School course. Under the direction of Jennifer Wells, they always do a great job, and you're going to do a great job today, right?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely, yeah. So glad that you are here. You can look in your bulletin and see that we will be receiving a special offering for the course during our offertory. I'll tell you a little bit more about that later, but if you'd like to give a special gift, you can do that during the offering. Take note of the announcements in your bulletin. Notice plans for our new Community Life Center. We're continuing to raise money for that. Let me give you a little update on that. Just this past week, we got the totals for the end of January there in your bulletin. Notice $899,852. Several people have already said, if I'd known that, I'd given $150 and put us over 900,000, you know. Well, I wish I'd known that at the end of January, but we don't know the totals until we add them all up. But we're knocking on the door of 900,000. Wouldn't it be great if we hit a million before we actually get started? The update on the project is that we have a building loan committee that will soon be taking our January figures and going to various banks and getting information about a loan, and we'll give you more information about that as we get it. But so continue to pray and to give toward that very important project. I mentioned that the Graham High School chorus is with us. A band from Graham High School was part of the all-county band concert this week. And I understand we also had two wonderful participants from our own church, Cassidy Newland and Braylon Nance, did a great job. So we're thankful for them as well. Look on the back of your bulletin. Notice that Ash Wednesday, beginning the season of Lent, will be on February the 26th. So we will be having a wonderful pancake sausage supper in the fellowship hall at 5 o'clock, provided by our Congregational Life Committee. So you don't have to sign up for that. That's open to everyone at 5. And then here at 6 o'clock in the sanctuary, we'll have a brief time of worship and imposition of ashes for Ash Wednesday. So mark those dates on your calendar. Notice also that I've produced a Lenten devotional for you going through 1 Corinthians. And the reason it's 1 Corinthians is because Dr. Mickey Eford will be with us during Lent and teaching through 1 Corinthians during the Sunday school time in the fellowship hall, all the five Sundays in March. And so I put together a devotional so that you can read through 1 Corinthians during the season of Lent, and there's a special daily prayer to go with each Bible reading. You know, lots of times in Lent, people think about, during Lent, I'm not going to do this, that, the other, and I'm not going to eat chocolate, or I'm not going to, you know, set aside things. And that's all fine and good, but you might want to add something. Maybe if you aren't doing Bible reading, it would be good to use this to do Bible reading during Lent. So those are available to you in the narthex today. Look with me now at our prayer concern list. Last Sunday, we prayed for Bama King, Jerry Morgan, and Barb Slaughter, and all three of those are home from the hospital now, and actually Bama's with us here in worship today. So, but continue to pray for their full recovery. Also ask your continued prayers for Thelma Cheek. On Friday, she was moved from UNC Hospital to a rehab center in Greensboro. So be in prayer for Thelma and her recovery. Also, you'll see Betty Atkinson's name there. I mentioned that she'd had hernia surgery and talked to her son this past week, and she did come home from that, but just continue to pray for her healing. Also, ask your prayers Christian sympathy to the family of Dottie Tatum. Dottie Tatum was a school teacher at Hall River. I believe she taught with Pat Dillard, but she's also a very special friend of Ruthie Holt, and Ruthie wanted us to mention prayers for that family, Dottie Tatum, who passed away this past week. Are there any other prayer concerns or praises that you'd like to mention today? Okay, Kyle? Kyle, you really get around. That's great. That's good. Thank you for sharing that. I also want to invite you, as you have opportunity, to go down the hallway to the bulletin board and look at, of course, keep checking the bulletin board, all kinds of information there. But there's special information there about how you can help crown Barbara Bird the Pink Ribbon Queen. And you can do that by voting with a donation. 100% of the proceeds go to help people in our community with breast cancer. And so Barbara got selected and is participating, so you can go find out on the bulletin board information about how you can vote for her. She's always queen, but now she can be pink ribbon queen. So, yeah, we're thankful for Barbara. All right, let me invite you now to look in your bulletin and follow along. We're going to begin by preparing our hearts for worship by hearing the prelude sung by the Graham High School Chorus.
Oh.
Thank you so much. Let me invite you now, as you're able, to stand together for the call to worship. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. We say about our God, the Lord is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely the Lord will save us from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. As a loving bird, the Lord will cover us with his feathers, and under his wings will we find refuge. God is faithful. God is our protection. Let us rest in the Lord and worship him together. Let us pray. Oh Lord, as we gather in this place, sometimes we come to church and we just look for our friends or enjoy speaking to others and we forget about you. The whole reason we have come to this place is that we might focus our attention upon you, hear from your word, have you take your truth and apply it to our hearts. So Lord, as we come together in your presence, we seek to worship you in spirit and in truth. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Please be seated. Let me invite you now to confess sinfulness together using the prayer of confession you'll find in your bulletin. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have made us all equally in your image, but that does not mean that we all have the same blessings in life. We admit that sometimes we look at what others have and we wish we had the same things, or maybe even something better. Forgive us for our lack of contentment and our failure to thank you for the many blessings that are ours. We pray in the name of Jesus, who willingly gave up all that was his so that we might become part of your family. Amen. Have you ever made a promise to someone, say, yeah, I'm going to do that, and you intend to do it, but then you forget? You just forget. Yeah, and you had good intentions, and you really meant to, but you just forget. Well, thank God. God makes promises to us that are sure and certain, and God never forgets. One of those promises is if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and will purify us from all unrighteousness. So remember, God does not forget, and God has promised if you confess, God will forgive through Jesus Christ, his Son. Amen. Invite all the children to come forward now for the children's sermon. Children, we've got a special treat for you from the Graham High School course, so I invite you to come forward. As they're coming, why don't you greet someone close by you and let them know that you're glad to see them today.
Come over here. You want to come over here? So, you've seen instruments in church before, right? What kind of instruments have you seen today? A piano and an organ. What else? You heard a trumpet? We have a new instrument that we're going to use today in church. This is a djembe drum. You don't want to hit the djembe drum? You guys want to come play the drum? You can. Yeah? Drums have been used in worship for years and years and years. David played, had a drum that he played, and there were drums throughout all of throughout all Scripture. So we're going to use the djembe drum today, and we're going to sing a song in a different language. But it's about spreading God's love throughout the earth. Okay? You sure you don't want to play my drum? No. Okay, well, I'm going to let Miss Wood, who is also teaching with me at Graham High School, she's going to give us the pitches, but she's going to come play the drum. And when she's done, if you still want to play the drum, you can play the drum.
Invite you to look with me now at our scripture lesson for the day, found in John's Gospel, John chapter 17, beginning with verse 13, page 997 in your pew Bibles. As we open our Bibles, let's now open our hearts before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we pray that you would guide us into your truth now. Help us to have open hearts, open minds to hear what you have to say to us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look with me then at John's Gospel, chapter 17, beginning with verse 13. This is part of what I would call the greatest prayer in the Bible. It's really amazing. We get to listen in on the Son talking to the Father, Jesus talking to God. And this entire chapter is a record of that prayer. I'm just going to read a portion of it, beginning with verse 13. Jesus says, I am coming to you now, talking to the Father, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Notice that phrase. We'll come back to that. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may truly be sanctified. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Did you notice what he said in verse 13 in particular? I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that. Why was Jesus teaching? Why was he teaching these who believed in him? So that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. You notice the title of the sermon today, How to Keep Your Tank Full Without Ever Going to Sheets. There seems to be a Sheets popping up, you know, just about every other corner, so to speak. And have you noticed what happens when a new Sheets is built? Have you caught on to the pattern? When it is first open, what happens to the price? The price is low. And it's interesting to me that when that gas station lowers its price, the other ones right around it, all of a sudden they can sell gas for cheaper too. It's amazing, you know. But the Sheets is built, and the price goes low for a little while, and then it inches up slowly, and then finally gets back to where it is with the other gas stations. Well, Not too long ago, I was on my way back from a hospital, and I found one of these new sheets, and it hadn't been opened very long, so the price was lower. So what did I do? I stopped there and filled up my tank. And guess what I found out when I got back to Graham? The price at Graham was higher. Guess how much higher? It was 1 cent higher. So I really saved a lot of money by filling up there at that Sheetz. But wouldn't it be great to drive in your car and pass every Sheetz there is and never have to fill up? I know that you could drive an electric car, for example, and then you wouldn't have to fill up, but even there you have to stop somewhere and charge. So wouldn't it be great to drive your car? We're not all alike, but some of you will be able to identify with me. I like to look at my gas tank indicator and not just see it pointing to F, but seeing it kind of a little bit on the other side of F, you know? That means it's really full. Wouldn't it be great to have a full tank all the time and never have to stop to fill up? Well, I want to use that image for you to think this morning about not your gas tank, but your joy tank. What brings joy into your life? The kind of joy, I'm not talking about just being in a good mood and because the sun is shining and you feel good and things are going okay. I'm talking about the kind of joy that lets you know that everything is okay no matter what. That's the kind of joy I'm talking about. How can you have that joy and keep that joy all the time? Well, let me share with you four ideas. First, I want you to see that this is the joy that Jesus had. This is the kind of joy that Jesus had. Just look at him. He was in the middle of a terrible storm. The disciples were all upset. And what was Jesus doing? He was asleep. He was not anxious. He was not worried in the least. Not only was he not troubled in the middle of the storm, he was able to take on the storm itself and still the storm, untrouble the storm. It's the joy that Jesus had with the Father and the Holy Spirit for eternity. There was nothing that could rob them of their joy because it was based on who they were, and nothing can change that. Now notice what Jesus said in John 17. I'm saying these things now so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Not just a little bit of joy, not just the greatest joy, not just the greatest joy that any Christian can have, but my joy. And not just my joy, but the full measure of my joy. My joy so much that in the joy indicator, it points all the way to the other side of F. It's that full. And they can have this joy within them. I believe in Jesus' joy. I believe that Jesus had joy. But sometimes it's hard for me to believe that I can have that joy or full measure of that joy within me. Secondly, this is the joy for all Christians. The kind of joy that's offered for all Christians. What is the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5? First thing is love, but the second one is joy. What did Paul write to the Philippians from prison? When he was in prison, in a bad situation, he wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." What did John say in his first letter, the first letter of John? "These things I write to you that your joy may be full or complete." God did not just save you for eternity. He didn't just give you the gift of salvation so that one day you can go off to heaven somewhere. He saved you to give you a life filled with joy right here, right now. And one of the best attractions for evangelism is to see a group of Christians with that kind of joy. Have you ever known a Christian who seemed like they were grumpy all the time? A Christian who never got excited about anything, who found fault with a sunny day. You know, I hate sunny days because the sun gets in my eyes. Why would anyone want to become a Christian if every Christian they knew was like that? But when the world sees us filled with joy, and not just joy on the good days, but joy when our lives face trials and challenges, when they see that, they think, "Why are you like that? I'd like to be like that. The joy that is available for all Christians. Then thirdly, the joy that does not depend on our circumstances. It does not depend on our circumstances. Go back and look at what I read in John 17 and look at the context. Jesus has been talking at length with his disciples in John 14 to 16. He talks with the Father in John 17. And what's about to happen to Jesus? It's all under the shadow of the cross that's coming within the next 24 hours. And yet he's talking about joy. He tells his disciples, I'm going to have to leave you. I've got to go away. I will not be with you. And they are devastated. But yet he says, you can still have the full measure of my joy within you. You know what joy, what Jesus was feeling, knowing that he was going to die? We can't fully understand that, but have you ever been somewhere like that, totally devastated? Your emotions are wrecked. You're plunged into a pit of sorrow and grief. One of the problems for me of being a pastor in one place for a long time is that I have to walk with lots of people in places like that. Places of great sorrow and grief. And you are people that I love. You're not just names to me. You're people that I love. You're like family. And it hurts when you see someone you love who is hurting from sorrow and grief. And yet Jesus says in the middle of all of that, you can still have joy. Joy that your hope is in Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Joy that God's plan will win out in the end. Joy that you will see your loved ones once again. That kind of joy that does not depend on your circumstances. Now the fourth point is, all of this talk about joy, joy that is doesn't depend on your circumstances, joy that is always in full measure from Jesus. This is the joy that you can have today. You can have this joy today. Now maybe you're thinking, I don't know if I really believe in that kind of joy, but I wish I could. I don't know if people really have that kind of joy, but if it's possible, I'd like to have it. Well, you can have it. You can have a full tank of Jesus' joy in your heart today. I want to tell you a little story about someone who knew that joy. I was saddened just last weekend to hear about the tragic death of Orson Bean. Orson Bean made frequent appearances on TV game shows, Johnny Carson's The Tonight Show. He was the shopkeeper, Lauren Bray, on Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. And he was 91 years old and still working. And he got hit by a car and was killed. I saw that on Facebook, and then I started seeing articles about his Christian faith. He was not someone who mentioned that in every interview, but yet it was still real to him. So I dug a little deeper to find out about his faith. Orson Bean did not even believe in God for most of his life. He spent most of his life just trying to get ahead, get famous, enjoy money, enjoy sex, just enjoy life. From his childhood, he decided that he just wanted to be happy. He grew up in days in his parents' apartment, and he said what he grew up with was just times of fights and drinking and affairs. That's all he knew from his parents. But he would find small parts to play, always looking for some way to be happy. That was his thing. I just want to be happy. He grew up and did become famous. He became a stand-up comic, an actor on Broadway. As he said, a game show panelist, a modest skill like being a virtuoso of the kazoo. Well, that fun made him happy for a while, but didn't last. And in time, he graduated to drugs, booze, women. That all worked too for a while, but it didn't last. Finally, nothing was working, and he wasn't working. No one was calling to get him to do anything. So eventually he started going to a 12-step recovery program. He said there were speakers at the programs, former drunks who were supposed to come in and explain it all. One was named Bobby. a real tough guy with scars and tattoos. He'd done time in the pen, and yet he seemed so happy. Orson said, "That's what I wanted. I wanted, in spite of everything that happened, to be happy." So he asked Bobby for advice, big tough guy. And Bobby said, "What you need to do is get down on your knees and thank God every morning and then do it again at night." Orson said, "But I don't even know that I believe in God." He said, "That doesn't matter, just do it." He said, "Well, why do I have to get down on my knees?" "I don't know, he just likes it that way." And Bobby walked off. So Orson said, "That night, I got down on my knees by my little bed in my little apartment, feeling like a fool. I spoke out loud and said, 'If there's anybody out there, thank you for the day.' The next morning, I got out of bed, got on my knees, and said, 'If there's anybody out there, thank you for the night's sleep.'" He said, "I kept doing that every morning and every night, and in time, my heart began to change. I began to feel like someone was really there, someone who cared about me. And one day, I actually prayed, 'All right, I'll call you God. Thank you, God, for caring about me.'" But then in time, he wanted more than just that. He wanted more than just the feeling that God was there. He wanted to understand with his mind what this Christian faith was all about. So someone suggested to him that in addition to reading the Bible, he read a book by C.S. Lewis called Mere Christianity. Mere Christianity began as a series of radio talks during World War II. What happened was the Germans were bombing London, and the people were scared to death. And the BBC got the bright idea that we need to get someone on the radio each night to talk, to boost the people's morale. And so they asked C.S. Lewis to just talk about mere Christianity. And so they said in every pub in London, C.S. Lewis would start talking on the radio, and the people would put their pints down and say, "Shh, it's C.S. Lewis, listen to him talk." And all he would do would just be explain the basics of Christianity. Can you imagine that today? Very different world today. Well, these talks were published in a book, and Orson Bean read them. He wanted his intellect to back up his faith. He didn't just want to blindly believe that there's some God out there. He wanted to know about this God and know what he was like. And so he read this book, and it helped him, gave him what he needed so that his mind understood the Christian faith. He said, "One day I decided it was time to stop resisting and just accept that I was a Christian. As I did so, a peace began to come over me, one which I'd never known before. All my life I'd looked for happiness and had experienced it briefly and then let it slip away. But as I started to feel loved by Jesus, I knew a joy that could last forever." That's the kind of joy that you can have today. Now, how can you have it no matter what? You know, there are times I feel good and might even feel a little joy, but how can I have it no matter what happens in my life? Let me share with you three simple things here at the end that you can know no matter what. First, Jesus is praying for you. Just like Jesus prayed in this prayer for his disciples, he continues to pray for you today. He's praying that you would have the full measure of his joy. And guess what? Jesus' prayers get answered. So Jesus is praying for you that you would have that full measure of his joy. Second, Jesus always loves you. Jesus always loves you. There's nothing that tends to rob us of our joy more than our lack of love for Jesus. I look at my love for Jesus and it seems so weak. It seems so tiny, and there's nothing wrong with looking at that, but, you know, I need to stop focusing on that sometime and look at Jesus' love for me. My love for Jesus might seem tiny, but look at Jesus' love for me. It is huge. It is unconditional. It is eternal, and there's nothing in life or in death that can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So know that Jesus always loves you. And then thirdly, know that Jesus holds your future in his hands. Jesus holds your future in his hands. You know, one of the things that robs us of our joy more than anything is fear of the future. We're afraid of what might happen. We think of all kinds of possibilities, and they all seem bad, and we get scared. But know that Jesus holds your future in his hands. Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, because of the joy set before him, the joy that he knew was his. Can you have that kind of joy? Can you really have joy no matter what? Yes, you can. You can even have it today because Jesus is praying for you. Jesus always loves you. And Jesus holds your future in his hands. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for these promises. And they're not just promises that don't apply to us. They're real. They're right now, right where we live. They're not just for people from a long time ago. They're right now for today. Thank you that you have promised that we can have a full tank of joy that never diminishes because of what you have given us in Jesus Christ our Savior. And we thank you that we can depend on that. We can know it for sure by faith in you. Lord, bless every person here, and all our circumstances are different. But whatever our circumstances that we brought with us today, whatever is troubling us, Lord, help us to know that you rule over it all and that we can depend on you no matter what. So no matter what is dragging us down today, you can still fill our hearts with a full measure of your joy. Lord, we pray for those in need, those on our prayer list, as well as others that we carry in our hearts. And for each of them, we pray for a full measure of your joy, no matter what. We make our prayers in and through our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught his followers to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We are so thankful to have the Graham High School chorus with us today. They're going to sing a couple of spirituals during the offering. Let me tell you about the offering. As the regular offering plates are passed, you can put your regular offering that. But the baskets are specifically for the Graham High School chorus. So any money that's placed in those baskets will go toward the chorus. And if you want to write a check, you can make that payable to the church. So let us give generously and let us enjoy these spirituals.
Give your hand, daughter, the clock. Hold on, hold on. serve God till I die. I'm gonna serve God till I die.
Hypocrite, hypocrite,
tell you what he do.
I'm gonna serve God till I die.
He'll talk about me and he'll talk about you.
Talk about you.
I'm gonna serve God till I die.
Little lamb, little lamb, little innocent lamb.
I'm gonna serve God till I die.
Little lamb, little lamb, little
lamb, innocent lamb. I'm gonna serve God till I die. Devil, he's got a slippery shoe. I'm gonna serve God till I die.
Now, if you don't mind, he's gonna slip it on you.
I'm gonna serve God till I die.
Cause there ain't no dying over there.
No dying over
in that heavenly land. In that heavenly land.
Lord, we present these gifts to you now. It's a sign of us presenting ourselves to you. Take us, Lord, and use us wherever we go. Use us for your glory, we pray through Jesus our Savior. Amen. want to say another word of thanks to the Graham High School Chorus. Thank you so much for being with us. We greatly appreciate it. In just a moment, they'll be singing a postlude to end the service. And then after they finish, as you have an opportunity, please express your thanks to them for being here today. Don't you want to have joy like a fountain in your soul? Wouldn't that be great to have that kind of joy that's just always springing forth? Well, you're not good enough to do that on your own. I'm not good enough to do that. I need the kind of joy that Jesus gives me, and I know I can have that today because Jesus is praying for me. Jesus always loves me, and Jesus holds my future in his hands. The same for you. So as you go from this place, may you know the joy that Jesus Christ alone can bring, and may it fill your heart no matter what your circumstances, no matter what happens to you, knowing that Jesus is with you and Jesus means joy. Amen.